This year is called Nachshon by the Sea. Okay, Nachshon by the Sea. We'll start with two Rashis in Tehillim, and then we'll go to the Medrash in Tehillim that's based upon. Okay, so I prepared this year with Daniel Gober, maybe like a year ago or so. But it's kind of saved it up for now, after Pashas B'Shalach. Missed it by a little bit, but we're close. Okay, so we'll start with the, in Perek Kuf Yudalad, right, in Tehillim. It's from Hallel, B'tzeyeso Mitzrayim Beis Yaakov Me'am Lois. Right, so Pasuk Bey is like this: Ha'isa Yehuda Lekadsho Yisrael Mam Shilosav. Okay, so Yehuda was Lekadsho. Okay, there's like two ways to interpret it. Rashi's going to, and Yisrael was his memshala, his under his dominion. Also two ways to interpret it. Okay, so Rashi's like this: Ha'isa Yehuda Lekadsho Lakach Yehuda Legorel Chevlo. So the first way is Yehuda was God's like chelek. God took Yehuda as his portion when Klai Yisrael was leaving Mitzrayim. That's when God chose Yehuda to be his portion. What does it mean, his portion? Presumably means like Yehuda to be like the Malchus, to be from Yehuda. Okay. The Afheim Kitchu Shmo, and they also Yehuda was Mekadesh Hashem Hashem. Yeah,
wasn't that from the Berachas Yaakov?
I know that's gonna be it's an annoying problem in the background. I don't know if we're gonna answer that. Right. You can at the very end of remind me. Maybe we'll see if we could speculate something about that.
Okay.
Okay. So says a Heisa Yehuda Katsho. So Yehuda was God's. God took him as like was Mekadesh Yehuda, set aside Yehuda, designated Yehuda to be God's portion, and Afheim, and Yehuda himself was Mekadesh Hashem of Akash Baruch Hu b'Yeridas Hayam, when by going down into the sea. Okay.
Is this off?
Yeah, that's off.
Oh, it's off.
So Yehuda was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim b'Yeridas Hayam. Shinamar Sari Yehuda Rigamasam. Okay, that's the in Perek Samaches. We're gonna go to that Rashi next. Ukmoke Nidrash be'Agada Mikrasa.
We're starting now.
Okay, and
Rebbe's number.
Okay, 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 and the same thing there. They're being Dorish in the Agada of Mikrasa, and this is the Medrash Tehillim. We'll see. Ha'isa Yehuda Lekadsho. What does it mean? Yehuda was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. Shekafat Nachshon Lesoch Hayam. So Nachshon Ben Aminadav, who was ended up being the Nasi of Yehuda, so he jumped into the sea. The Amar Ani Eret Chila. He says, I'm going to go down into the sea first. Okay, it's a reference to when Nachshon from Sheva Yehuda went into the sea first. Okay, and Rashi quotes another pasuk. It's in Perek Samaches, which is about Yetzias Mitzrayim and also the Kriyas Yamsuf and Matan Torah, right? And he wrote references a pasuk. Okay, so let's see this other pasuk in Rashi there, and then we'll see the Medrash Tehillim. Okay. It says Perek Samaches Pasuk Chaf Ches. Okay. It says Sham, so there by the sea. That's the context. Binyamin Tsa'ir, so Binyamin the younger one, right? The younger little Binyamin. Rodim. Okay. So Rodim, little I guess means like he rules over them. So they're translating it here. Sare Yehuda Rigmasan. Okay. Rigmasan is a funny word. Okay, the officers of Yehuda were stoning them. Maybe that's actually what it means. Sari Zvulun, Sari Naphtali. And also the officers of Zvulun and Naphtali. Okay, that's the pasuk. Good. Sham Binyamin Tsaya Rodim, right there by the sea. The younger Binyamin ruled over them. Sari Yehuda Rigmasam, the officers of Yehuda threw stones. Sari Zvulun, Sari Naphtali. Also them. Okay. Rashi. It's a funny pasuk. Okay. So he says, Sham Binyamin Hatsair, Nasa Rodaleim, there by the sea, Binyamin the younger one became a ruler over them. Rodim kemo rodim bekamatz. I'm not sure if kamatz means in Rashi. Maybe it's a patach. I don't know. Misham zachal yos melech. From there, Binyamin was zochet to be the king. Lefisha yarat chil al yam, because he went first into the sea. V'chein amar lo Shmuel l'shaul, and that's why Shmuel told Shaul, halo in katan ata b'necha rosh shifte yishal ata. So when Shaul sinned, and he listened to the people, and he didn't kill Agag. Right, we gave that shiur twice already, right, Ariel?
No?
Yeah. Twice already. Yeah. Okay. So when Shaul listened to the people, he didn't stand up to them, and he let Agag alive, and he let the sheep, the Meitav Hatzon. So Shmuel criticized Shaul, and he says, even though you're small in your own eyes, and you're still the head of Rosh Shifte Yisrael Ata, but Tirgam Yonasan, so the Tirgam Yonasan ben Aziel, not Pasuk, says, what does it mean, Rosh Shifte Yisrael Ata? He says, Shifta de Binyamin Avar Biyama Beresh Kol Shar Shiftaya. So the Tirgam, right, Tirgam Yonasan, not even Tirgam Shalom, Tirgam Yonasan, says the Shevet of Binyamin passed through the sea, passed into the sea, at the head of all the other Shvatim. Okay, so Binyamin was the first one into the sea. And that's why he was Zocha to be king. And Shaul, who was the first king of Bnei Yisrael, was from Sheva Binyamin. Okay. Sari Yehuda Rigmasam. And then the officers of Yehuda pelted them with stones. Miskanim Bahim. They were jealous of them. Vizorkim Bahim Avonim. And they threw stones at them. Vachain Sari Zvulun Vizari Naphtali. And also the officers of Zvulun and Naphtali. Vachain Amralo Tziva Elokim Uzecha. I still don't understand that part of the Rashi. Tziva Elokim Uzecha. Okay, I mean, that's the next pasuk. Tziva Elokim Uzecha Uz Elokim Zupa Atalana. Or maybe that's why I still don't get that context. And therefore it says, Tziva Elokim Uzecha, I guess, to Yehuda, that God gave him Oz, I guess, Malchus, to Yehuda, because of that. Davar Acher.
Was Zvulun and Naphtali doing it?
Yeah, Zvulun and Naphtali, they're just along for the ride. It's like not entirely clear. I have a little bit of a shot for them. Okay? But yeah, we're like, what are they doing? Binyamin and Yehuda are the main players, and Zvulun and Naphtali, they tag along with Yehuda. I mean, they're in the Pasuk. You know, but they don't really, you know, they're just tag-alongs to some degree. Okay, I have a little bit of a shot what they're doing here.
Are they in, what's it called? A Dvorah?
That's Naphtali, I think.
Also, oh, not Naphtali.
No, it's just Naphtali, I think.
Naphtali?
Yeah.
Dvorah
and Barak.
The Shira of Dvorah.
Right.
So
okay.
She talks, she puts down certain Shvatim that they didn't help. I know that she praises that they did help.
Okay, fine. Just to clear up this question that Leslie's asking, Yaakov asked before, is what does Rashi mean that because... Okay, well, just let me just see the next Rashi, and I'll just take that up in a second. It's just the Davar Acher Rashi, Rigmasam, Rikmasam. You read it instead of Rigmasam, Rikmasam with a kuf. Levushe Bigde Rikmasam, Lashon Argamon. So that he dressed Yehuda in clothes of Argamon, purple. Like, Argamon is the clothes of a king, okay? So because of basically the what happened at the Yam, Binyamin was Zochet to the Malchus first, Shaul, and then Yehuda also ultimately, Tziv Elokim Uzecha, and also Rikmasan, Levushe Argamon, Yehuda was Zochet. Okay, now the question that Leslie asked and Yaakov Eiferman asked is what do you mean? Yaakov, already in Mitzrayim, had said, Lo Yasu Shevim Yehuda. Okay, so I'm just, again, it's like a little bit of a problem. I don't know what to do with it exactly. I would say it's sometimes like these brachos in the Nevuah of the Brachos Yaakov, Brachos Moshe, like you look back at them retrospectively with Rashi and Chazal, and you interpret them, and it's everything's very clear. But sometimes like those brachos in their time, they could have taken different forms. So it's possible, I don't know, maybe this is just a possible answer, is like that maybe that bracha was solidified and concretized that it would be a permanent malchus to Yehuda because of the events at the sea. But had he not acted in the appropriate way, as we'll see happened, you know, through the story, then perhaps that Birchos Yaakov wouldn't have taken that specific form exactly. Maybe there would have been a different interpretation. But I don't know. The question is better than the answer.
I heard a different shot.
A different shot? Okay, go ahead.
That it shouldn't leave him, but that doesn't mean it has to go to him.
Oh, you mean he might never get it to begin with?
Right.
With regard to this question or just in general?
In regard to the Malchus.
With the Vizu, this Rashi, actually?
No, not this Rashi.
A different context. General,
that,
a different context.
Context that,
okay, fine.
How did Shaul become the king?
Oh, that's different. Yeah, once the Ramban says that. Once he got it, wasn't going to leave him. But here it seems to be saying...
Could have been anybody.
Maybe never had to get it to begin with.
Right.
Okay.
If Shaul had passed the test, then...
Okay, fine. No, I understand. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry.
Doesn't Rashi have a steer now? Who went down to the Yom first? Moshe or Nachshon?
Oh, I mean... yeah, it's a little bit of a contradiction. We'll hear the full... Yeah, right. Meaning the one... This Rashi, it says Binyan went first. But then the Rashi in Kuf Yudal said that Yehuda went first.
Yes, and Moshe, didn't he?
Moshe?
Yeah.
Where does he say Moshe?
Rodin. Moshe Zachar Liosnach Lefishi Yard Chilo Yam.
Misham.
Oh, Misham.
Yeah, you have Moshe there?
Yeah.
That's a bad year, so. Misham Zachar Liosnach.
That was a bad year,
so. That'd be a triple contradiction. No, I mean, there is a contradiction. Here he says Binyam was the first, and there he says Yehuda was the first. Okay? So, these Rashis, okay. Well,
I just want to finish my thought.
Yeah, go ahead.
That Binyamin was the only one who wasn't involved with the sale, so that's why he should have been the king.
Only one who did is involved in the sale of Yosef?
Yeah,
he's also the only one who didn't bow down to Esav.
Okay.
He's the only one born in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. He's got some special stuff. Okay, he's the youngest. He's always cute. He's cute. Very cute. Okay. Okay, but yeah, I mean, there's many chazals that try to explain this. Okay, but we're going to stick in this story. Okay, so let me read the full medrash that Rashi's based upon.
Is the famous medrash you're going to tell us?
Well, no, there's different versions of it. There's a version of it in Masechah Sota, but Rashi, they're different. They're not that the stories aren't exactly alike. These Rashi's are based on the medrash Tehillim, and the Shir is going to be based upon the medrash Tehillim. The Gemara's in Sota have like alternative versions. The Gemara has multiple versions. None of them are like this Medrash. Slightly variations. I'm just sticking with the, you know, parts of it are famous, but I'm sure it's famous because of the Gemara and Sota, not because of this version. But they're all semi-close, but my the story I'm going to tell is based upon...
Is Sota known for its Mefresh HaMashmas?
It has a few blot, especially in the first parak.
I've noticed a lot of Mefresh
HaMashmas. Yeah. Because it's Dorish. There's certain parts of Shmos. Yeah, from the first parak and the end of the first parak. Okay, you ready like this? It's on Kuf Yud Dalet. It's Medrash Dalet. Okay, it's like this. Ha'isa Yehuda Lekacho. Kishiyagia Yisrael Liyam. So when Klai Yisrael got to the Yam, Ha'yose Milchama Zemzeh. Okay, a war broke out between, a civil war broke out amongst Klai Yisrael. Eze Shevet Yared Liyam Rishon. Which Shevet would get to go first? V'lo Mishinis Yaveish Hayam. Not after the Yam already dried up. Who would get to go first? That's not when they started fighting. Ela Besoch Hayam Yardu. Into the Yam they went down. Okay, when Besoch, well, while it was still water, V'hayu Yardin Ad Sheyagia L'Afzei Yam. And they were going down until they were going down into the real like depths of the ocean. Shenamar Hoshi'eni Elokim Kibo Mayim Ad Nafesh. That's the next parak of Tehillim. Okay? So save me, God, because the waters come up Ad Nefesh, until my throat. Nefesh is sometimes a word for the throat. Like you have by Timas Beis Ablia, by the, right, the Nivlas of Tar. Right? So Nefesh says, the waters come up to my throat. Uksiv Vayavu B'nei Yisrael B'soch HaYam. Right? And the Pasuk says, Klai Yisrael came B'soch HaYam in the midst of the sea. Open Pasuk. So Binyamin HaTzadik, okay, I'm not sure if that should say Tzair, but Binyamin HaTzadik, so he went first into the sea. Shenamar, Sham Binyamin Tzair Rodim. So there Binyamin, the young one, Rodim, Altikri Rodim, don't say Rodim, he ruled. Ella Rad Yam, went down into the sea. Right, Sham Binyamin Rad Yam, went down into the sea. Uma asa Nachshon ben Aminadav. So what did Nachshon ben Aminadav do? Kafatz l'soch galei hayam. So he jumped into the waves of the sea. V'kidesh Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'enei hakol. And he's mekadesh, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in front of everybody. Umiragin le'Binyamin. And started throwing stones at Binyamin. Shenemar, sari Yehuda rigmasam. So the officers Yehuda stoned them. the Al Memshelis Neyad Nachshon Ben Yehuda of Yisrael. And under the Memshela, the rule, the dominion of Nachshon Ben Aminadav Ben Yehuda, right, or Sheva Yehuda, Avru, that's where Klai Yisrael went down. Not under Binyamin, under Yehuda. Umibneshe Ragim La'achiv, and because he stoned his brother, threw stones at them, Zacha La'argamon, that's why Yehuda was Zocha to the argamon. Hadu Dichsiv, Vihilbish L'Daniel, Argavana, Daniel is from Sheva Yehuda, he wore Malchus. Amar lo Kashbarchu, Kashbarchu said to Nachshon, metaphorically, you're throwing stones at your brother in order to make be mekadesh my name. You will be the ruler of your brothers. Have, and that's the other pasuk in Tehillim from Hallel. Haisa Yehuda lekadsho. So Yehuda was mekadesh Hashem of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yisrael mamshelosav shel Yehuda. So Yisrael is under the dominion of Yehuda because Yehuda was mekadesh Hashem Shemayim. By throwing stones at his brother, right? Yehuda threw stones at Binyamin. So then Yisrael, Mam Shalosav, Yisrael became under the dominion of Yehuda. That's why Yehuda was Zocha to the Malchus of all Klal Yisrael, because he's Mekadesh Hashem Shemayim by throwing stones at Binyamin. Ra Hayam Yisrael Osim Mechamez Zem Zeh HaKadush HaShema. The Yam saw that Bnei Yisrael was doing, fighting with each other, making Mechama civil war over Kiddush Hashem Shemayim. Amar Yam, the Yam said to itself, Mani Omid, what am I doing standing here? Mayad Baruch, and immediately it split. Shinemar Yam Ravayanos. Right, the Yam saw, that's the next passage of Hilma, Yam Ravayanos. Once the Yam saw that Yehuda and Binyamin are fighting, throwing stones in order to be Mekadesh Hashem Shemayim, that's what the Yam saw, Avayanos, and then it fled, and then it split. Until that point, they were going into the water, they're going into the waves, the waves are crashing down on them, it's coming up to their neck, they're praying to God, what is, help us, we're going to drown here. They keep going further, throwing stones at each other. Okay, nothing's happening. But then once the Yam sees that they're fighting for each other, throwing stones, hurting each other in order to make a Mechama, in order to make Hashem Shemayim, that's Hayam Ravianos, that's when the sea split. Okay? That is the story. Okay. Now, it's a strange... why is it a Kiddush Hashem to throw stones at your brother? Right, correct. Yeah, my kids would like that story.
Why did Binyamin...
I told my kids that. Hey, really? Kiddush Hashem to throw stones at your brother?
Why did Binyamin deserve the stoning?
Why did Binyamin deserve a stoning? Yeah, Binyamin was going down first. Seems like a good thing Binyamin was doing.
Going down first... To get out of, to go into the...
B'tachon Hashem, he trusted Hashem. He's going down first. Mm-hmm. And he was Zocha because of that to Malchus of Shaul. Right? It was a good thing. And then Yehuda decides, no, I'm going to be first. Starts throwing stones at him. The question is, what kind of thing is this? Is this really true? You see somebody's doing a mitzvah, being Kashim Shemayim, and you can throw stones at them, stop them so you could do that? Is that really... Is that really a perfection? Is that really the Anetza? Do we really hold by that? It's a little bit strange. Well, maybe we do.
Why was Binyamin doing it?
Why is Binyamin going into the sea? Okay, so Binyamin's going into the sea, presumably the same reason Yehuda wants to go into the sea.
No? To get them off
it? No, because... Okay, so if you look at the Pesukim, here's the Pesukim. It's a strange thing. The Chazals are based a little bit on the funny Pesukim in Bishalach, okay? So it says... Perek Yedalad. Perek Yedalad. Let's say Pasuk Tesvav. Okay. So Moshe is talks to Klai Yisrael, Hashem Yilachem Lachem, Atem Tach Rishun. Everybody's worried. They're nervous, complaining. Okay. And Moshe starts davening to Hashem. What should I do? But Yom Hashem Moshe, Mati Tzakalai, what are you davening to? Why are you crying out? Darbo B'nei Yisrael V'yiso. Talk to Bnei Yisrael and let them travel. Then next, Ve'ata, Hari Mismatcha, Unateis Yatcha Yam, Uvka'ehu, Vavo Bnei Yisrael, Besocha Yam, Bayabasha. Okay, so first tell Bnei Yisrael to travel. It doesn't say first lift up your hand and split the sea, then tell them to travel. First it tells them to travel. Right? Rashi says, Ein Lam El Elisa, She'en Ayam O Mifnehem, all you have to do is travel. The sea is not standing in their way. I mean, the sea is there, but they just got to travel. Okay, them traveling and going to sea is what causes the sea to split. It's not that the sea splits first and then they go through it. It's in order to split the sea, they have to travel into the sea. Right? First he tells Bnei Israel to travel. Then he tells Moshe to lift up his staff. It would seem that Moshe only lifted up the mate after Bnei Israel already started traveling, which I think is what the Medrash is based upon. Right? Rashi continues there, Kedais chasav osam v'heim v'amuna sheminu bi v'yatsu likro lehem hayam. Okay, so the schus of Avos and the schus of Klai, so that they follow and they left Mitzrayim, that's enough to split the sea. But the sea is split by them traveling. It looks like the sea is there, but no, the sea is not really in their way. Da'avu Bnei Yisrael v'yiso. And then Moshe lifts up his staff. Va'yavo Bnei Yisrael b'soch hayam. Like the Medrash says, they came into the midst of the sea. Then by Yabasha, and then it became dry land. Okay? So that's ultimately what these psukim are based upon. That there's, it seems like there's an idea that in order for the sea to split, Klai Yisrael first had to travel into the sea. And only afterwards was Moshe going to lift up his hand with the staff in it, and then it's going to split and it'll go be Abasha. Okay? Okay. Yeah, so I mean the basic question is what kind of story is this? And what are we to take from this story? Does it make any sense? Is if somebody's being Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, Binyamin's being Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, he got there first. He was the first into the sea. So then why is Yehuda, Nachshon, what is he doing? Running and throwing stones and trying to be the other one. He got there first. Who's Zoch in the mitzvah? You know what I mean? A guy is doing a mitzvah, you knock him over, take it and do it yourself. What kind of thing is that? Presumably, the issue is Kiddush Shem Shemayim. So if Binyamin is Kiddush Shem Shemayim, you're going to stop and say, you can do it? I mean, it's like you're selfish almost. You're thinking about yourself. What about the Kiddush Hashem? It doesn't matter who does it. Isn't the most important thing whether the Kiddush Shem Shemayim? Binyamin's the one who's Zoche. He did it first. He got there first. It's like you know, with Pinchas and Moshe. Right? So Moshe, Pinchas says, Kanayim Pogim Bo Zimri. And Moshe says, you know what? You're the one who remembered the Lacha. You be Zoche. Oh, somebody's going to come, knock Pinchas out of the way, grab the spear. And you don't do that. He's being Kiddush Shem Shemayim. He's the one who's Zoche. Let him go do it. Binyamin was the first one in. What is Yehuda doing? Throwing stones and Mechama?
Isn't there also like a take someone else's mitzvah?
Yeah, Ten Zehuvim. Yoham Ten Zehuvim. What's going on here?
I remember. you remember?
Well, not I remember. Should I pause? I'll pause. You tell me to remember. Go ahead. Okay. Okay. So it's a strange story. We'd like to understand it better. Right? Well, why is Yehuda being selfish? The issue of it's Kiddush Shem Shemayim, it's the shame of Hashem itself. Should be worried about the Shem Hashem, not about himself, that he was the one who wants to do the mitzvah. And he's throwing stones, right? And what's this idea that the sea only splits once Klai Yisrael travels into it? A little bit strange, what's going on, right? Okay.
I can't possibly.
New possibility? Okay, so one idea just in terms of the sea is it does seem basic shot, right? Is that in order for the sea to split, they had to demonstrate a certain level of Emunah B'Hashem in order for the sea to split. Meaning Rashi's saying that the Kedai Zichus Avosehem V'Heim V'Emunah Sheminu Bi V'Yatzu Likra Lehem HaZiyam. So you see the Yam splitting was based on the Zichus Avos and the Zichus of the Emunah they had in leaving Mitzrayim following Lechtech Acharei B'Midbar Rech Lo Zeruah. But it seemed like they had to follow through and continue that in terms of having Emunah B'Hashem, or Moshe Avdo, in terms of splitting the sea. And therefore the sea was only going to split based upon a certain schus they had. And they had to actualize that schus by going to the sea based upon the Emunah. Once they demonstrated that Emunah, that they trusted in God and Moshe's Nevuah, then that was going to be sufficient for the sea to split. Okay, so that seems to be the basic idea that's necessary for the sea didn't split. It was tully, the sea splitting was tully on their schusim, right? They need to have schusim, the sea split in their schus, which is interesting. It's different than the makos. It doesn't seem like the makos happened because of the schus of Bnei Yisrael. They didn't have to do anything. But the sea splitting seems to be based a little bit different, based upon the schus of Klai Yisrael, which is an interesting thing to note. Why is it different? But, okay, just noting it, just to keep a point, you know, file that away. Okay. Now, I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent because I want to tell a little bit of a story, but I have to first establish a point which is a strange point. Okay, so the point I'm going to try to say before we, you know, to get my story is that the story is going to make sense of Yehuda and Binyamin if you understand how Bnei Yisrael was arranged at the Yam Suf. Okay, and I want to say that they were camped at the Yam Suf. Okay, that Binyamin was in the back and Yehuda was in the front. In the same order, right, as the Degalim. Okay, so if you look in, I'm going to try to prove this, but I can't prove it absolutely, but I'll try to make it as compelling as I can. So if you look in Sefer Bamidbar, okay, so Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Beis, so the Degalim, there's an order, right, that the order that they were camped around the Mishkan. So it says like this. It says, "Vaydav Hashem Moshe v'Aaron le'mor ish al diglo ba'ozos lebeis avosam yachanu ben Yisrael mineged saviv l'ol moed yachanu." Okay. "V'achonim kedma mizracha degel machane Yehuda." So who camped in the east, kedma lifnim kari kedem. So kedem is like the first, the east. Okay, and Yehuda always traveled first. It's also a pasuk. I forgot where that pasuk is. But in the east was Yehuda. Okay. Now with Yehuda,
it says Rishonos.
What?
I think it says somewhere Rishona.
That he traveled first.
Yeah.
Yeah, when it goes through the traveling, it says, did it say it over here? Rishona Yiso? It says it somewhere. Yeah, over here. It says at the end of this pasuk. Okay? So it says, so it's first Yehuda. Now with Yehuda is Yisachar and Zvulun. Okay? That was Yehuda's camp. Yisachar and Zvulun. And the end of the pasuk says it says Rishona Yiso. Okay? They're always the first ones to travel. Okay, Yehuda's the Melech, Yehuda goes first. So he's Rishon Yisachar. So that's Yehuda Yisachar and Zvulun and Yisachar. That's one camp. Okay? The next camp in the south is Reuven, Shimon, and Gad. The rest of Bnei Leah, plus her, right, the cat. She's missing Leva, she has Gad. Then in the west, Degel, Machne, Ephraim, Letzivosam, Yama. So in the west is Rachel's children. Ephraim, Menashe, and Binyamin. So that's the opposite of Yehuda. If Yehuda is in the east, right, and they travel first, Ephraim and Binyamin, let's just do Binyamin. Binyamin is in the west, they're in the back. Okay? And then to the right and the left, the north and south, you have Reuven, Shimon, Gad, and then the other side is the Bnei Pilakshim, is Naphtali, Asher, and Dan. Okay, good? So in the way that the Degalim are, Yehuda and Binyamin are on opposite sides, and Yehuda travels first in the east. Binyamin, in theory, is in the back in the west. Okay? So, if they were assuming for a second that they were set up this way by the Yam, okay, when they were told to camp by the Yam, okay, assuming they traveled this way, right out of Mitzrayim, okay, then when they went to the Yam, they did not know, they were just listening to Moshe. Moshe told them, this is where you should camp. At that point, they did not know they were going to go through the Yam. Moshe didn't even seem to know the plan at that point. So when they set up their camp by the Yam, waiting for the Egyptians to come for 3 days or whatever it was, waiting there, right, by Baal Tzafon, so they presumably they figured that they're going to travel away from the sea. So therefore, they set up their camp where Yehuda was furthest from the sea and Binyamin was closest to the sea. Assuming, you know, if they're traveling where Yehuda's in the lead and Binyamin's at the back. So when they set up the camp by the sea for those few days waiting for power to come, they didn't know what they're waiting for, right? Binyamin was at the back, Yehuda's at the front. Okay. Now you'll say, well, that's really, really unlikely because that's in Bamidbar and that's the Mishkan. And Sefer Bamidbar begins, right, so it's the beginning of the second year. That's when he counted them, and then he set up the Degalim. Right, let's say some Eretz Yisrael. So that's when they counted them. When it's right by Hashra Shechina, Rashi says there it's his Bala Hashra Shechina Lam. Right, the Shechina was the Mishkan was put up in the first of Nisan, and they counted them in the first of Iyar in the second year, and that's when he set up all the Degalim. Okay. So how could it possibly have been that they were set up in this arrangement earlier? Okay. So first is, The first is, I'll show you the possibility, and then I'll try to bring the rayas, okay? The possibility is because they knew about this arrangement from way back when, from Mitzrayim, okay? Because the pasuk in Bamidbar, Perek Aleph, pasuk, Perek Beis, pasuk Beis, it says, yes, exactly. Ish al diglo ba'osos lebeis avosam yachanu b'nei shol mi neged saviv lo moed yachanu. So how are they going to be arranged al moed? Ba'osos lebeis avosam. So Rashi says, "Be'os shemaser lehem Yaakov avihem kishin nasuhu mimitzrayim." So with the same, the sign that God that Yaakov gave Yaakov their father, gave to them when he carried when they carried his body out of Mitzrayim. Shnemar v'yazu banav lo kasher tzivam and Bereishis. It says his sons did for him what he commanded. Yehuda v'Yisachar zvulin yisu min haMizrach. Yehuda Yisachar and zvulin, they're going first. They carry in the east. I guess Eretz Yisrael to the east. of Mitzrayim, Reuven, Shimon, Gad, Minadar, and Mechulu, Kedisa, Betenchuma, Parshasu. Okay, so Yaakov, when they carried up his mita, his coffin from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, so Yaakov had already told them which way to be arranged. So they definitely knew ultimately where how they were supposed to be camped based upon the way Yaakov told them. Okay, how do you know that they were separated by? They were traveling in Shvatim. Right, by so much so early in the game. Right, how do you know? So first of all, you have an open pasuk, right? Because this is the again the second year. So you have an open pasuk right when they left, right after Yam Suf. Okay, it says in Bishalach Perak Tezvav Pasuk Tez Zion, right when they got to Elam. Right, it's kind of open. So it says, first after the Yam Suf, they got to Mara, and then the second place they came to was I have a bad quote here. Let's see. Okay, yeah, it's the last passing in Perek Tes Vav. Vayavo Elima v'sham shteim esrei ein enos mayim v'shivim tamarim v'yachan sham amayim. So there were 70 palm trees. Rashi says, "Kineg for the Shivim Zakenim," and there was 12 springs of water. Rashi says, "Kineged Yud Beishvatim is Damnuhem." So there's 12 separate springs, right? So presumably, so Rashi for the 12 separate Shvatim, right after the Yam Suf. Okay, so that's it's true. It's right after the Yam Suf. But furthermore, there's a medrash. There's a medrash in the Mishnah in Perkei Avos, Perkei, I think it's Mishnah Dalad. There was 10 nisim that were done al yam, and one of them that's done, Rambam explains, I think, Ben Yona, is that the yam was split into 12 separate lanes. Right? 12 separate lanes, maybe it's concentric semicircles, but it was 12 separate lanes for each of the shvatim to go in the separate lane. So when they traveled through the yam, they traveled in 12 separate shvatim. Okay? So even through the yam, and right after they get to the yam, there was an idea of setting up the shiftei ka. And they were traveling in separate shvatim through the yam, and after they got out of the yam, and that's one of the nisim that occurred that they were set that there was they didn't just travel through the yam as a horde, but they were set up already into 12 separate shvatim. Okay, and it wasn't just a it wasn't just practically they were traveling in shvatim, but I want to say there was a din machana. There really was at that point a din machana. And I want, because I can't really prove with these Pesukim, I need one more to show that they were actually set up the same way that they ultimately were set around the Mishkan. They had done it earlier, based upon the Tzivoy of Yaakov. It hadn't been commanded by Hashem yet, it was just based upon Yaakov, but they were doing it earlier. Okay, so you have to follow this a little bit.
That's,
okay,
it's slightly different.
What?
It's slightly different.
What's slightly different?
The 12 tracks as opposed to...
Yes, it's not enough. Right, 12 tracks just shows you that they're traveling as Shvatim. It doesn't show you that when they...
Two of the Shvatim had to go together.
You're right, it doesn't show you...
It was probably Yosef and Ephraim and Manasseh were probably together.
Of course, Pasha, definitely. That's definitely how it was. But the question, my question is the Ir of Rav. What did the Ir of Rav do? But okay.
In the Machane, it was...
Levi was in the middle.
That make 13.
I mean, how they do it? How did they do it when they did this? That's a good question.
Levi made 13, so
maybe Levi was in the middle. Yaakov told them Levi would be in the middle.
What do you mean, in the middle of what? On one of the 12?
You talking about the tracks through the Yam?
Yeah.
Oh, fine. In that case, then I guess Binyamin.
Yosef and.
From Menashe are going to have to be condensed for sure. Okay, fine. But that's just showing you they're traveling Ashvatim. But I still want to try to prove that when they were camping at the Yam, they were camping in this arrangement, right? The square arrangement where Yehuda, Zvulun, and Yisachar are in the front and Binyamin is in the back, okay? So like this. How much time do we have? I'll give you 20 minutes. Okay. I'll try to move quickly here. Okay. So if you look in, there's two parshios in the Torah. One is in Emor, okay? Perkav Dalad. Pasuk Yud. So this is the story of the Mekalel. Okay? Vayikra Chavdal Yud. So the Mekalel, he goes out, he's Mevarich L'Shem Hashem, and, right? And he ultimately gets killed. He gets Misa. Okay? So it says, Vayetze Ben Ish Yisraelis, Vuh Ben Ish Mitzri, Besuch Ben Yisrael, Vayinatsu B'machna Ben Ish Yisrael, right? Vayikra Ben Ish Yisrael, Yashem, Vayikalel, Vayaviosa Moshe. So Rashi says, so what caused him to be cursed to Shem Hashem? Masnisa Amra. So the Braisa has it, Tanchuma Vikaraba, mi Bezdino Shemotse Moshe Yatze Mechuyev. Okay, this is in from the Bezdin of Moshe he went out Mechuyev. Baalita Ola Basoch Machanadan. He wanted to set up his tent in the middle of Machanadan. Amrlo Mativchalakan, what are you doing here? Amrlem ibn Danani. He says, look, I'm from the children of Dan. Right, that's where my mother's from. Amrlo ish al diglo b'osus lebeis avosim ksiv. Right, according to pasuk in Bamidbar. Okay, which is the halacha of where each one. That's the pasuk of the setting up the degalim. How each one, right? How each one sits.
Patrilineal.
Well,
patrilineal.
Patrilineal, yeah. According to find the father. Yeah, correct. But it's yes. But my point is, this quoting the pasuk from Bamidbar. Okay, this is in Sefer Yekre. Don't worry about it. But quoting pasuk from Bamidbar. About the golem, how they had to set up. Okay, nichnas beis dinos shemoshev yetz mechuyev amen v'gitiv. Okay, so he came out the mekal is wrong, but you see they're arguing. He's arguing, I want to be in this machane, and they're saying no, isha the golem. There's an halach of the golem. Okay. Now, if you look in Rashi and pasuk Yud Beis, okay, so pasuk Yud Beis says, so what do they do with him? So it says vayinichu b'mishmar, they put him in prison. Lifrosh lema pi Hashem to decide what to do. What were they supposed to do? So Rashi says, "Vaynichu levado." They put him alone. Velo inuchu mekoshesh imo. They didn't put the guy who gathered sticks on Shabbos with him, Ariel, the guy who gathered sticks, right? Sheshneim hayu beperek echad, because both of them happened at the exact same time. V'yodim hayish mekoshesh b'misa, but they didn't put them together because the mekoshesh was on death row because they already knew mechale mos yumos. They didn't know what how to what misa to do the guys Michal Shabbos. So they didn't put the Mikalel together with Michal Shabbos because one's on death row and the other one they didn't know is Michal Misa. Okay, but you see Rashi holds the Mikalel and the Mikoshesh happened at the same time. Good? The Mikosh guy gathering sticks on Shabbos, yeah?
Why does it matter where they put?
I guess you don't want a group of guys chayv misa. The guy is not chayv misa. You're gonna scare the guy. You know what I mean? You don't do that. Right. The guy's not on death row. You don't want to put him together with the guy on death row.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Now, when did the mekoshesh happen? When did the guy gathering sticks happen?
Second
Shabbos.
Oh. Okay. That's the Rashi on in Bamidbar Tesvav Lambeis. It was is the Gnus and Shal Yisrael that the second Shabbos. Of course, the Klal Yisrael didn't do it. Now, when's the second Shabbos? So there's two possibilities when the second Shabbos is. Either it means after Har Sinai Matan Torah, because that's when Zachar Sinai Shabbos Lekasho. Okay, either means that. It could mean the second Shabbos after the Mon, because that's already at the midst of Shabbos. It could also mean, possibly, the second Shabbos after Moshe came down from on Yom Kippur, after he gave the second Luchos, because Moshe was up there, I don't know. Okay, but the second Shabbos cannot mean after the Mishnah was put up. And they say Shabbos was much earlier. Okay, so you see that this happened with the Mekalel, happened with the Mekoshesh, happened on the second Shabbos, okay? And already they're telling him the pasuk of Isha LeBeis Avosam, okay? And it makes sense how they're quoting the pasuk, but maybe I didn't give it yet, because they had Losa's Beis Avosam, they had the knowledge of how Yaakov Avinu told them to set up the Degalim, and there was already a Din Machaneh, and they already were set up in that way, because based on Yaakov. Now what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did is he was koveh them around the Mishkan in this way, and gave it a halachic realization. But until that, they were doing it based on the tzivoy of Yaakov. Okay? So far, so good. You buy it, enough rice. It's a little weak, but it's not perfect. I still can't prove it absolutely, but this is what I'm saying. Is that there was a Din Machane, and they were traveling that based upon Yaakov. It was a halach of a minhag. From the time they left Mitzrayim, they knew to do that, and they did that. Later on, by the Mishkan, it became a mitzvah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Moshe to do it. Okay, but at this point, they were set up this way by the Yam. Okay, so now what do we have? Now I think we can understand a little bit more the story of what is going on with Binyamin and Yehuda.
So,
okay.
Binyamin was closer to the Yam.
Binyamin is closer to the Yam, and Yehuda is the furthest from the Yam. Okay? So now, when Moshe says to them, or God says to Moshe, Dabar b'nei Yisrael v'yisa'u, that the Yam is not standing in front of them, tell them to travel into the Yam. And that's it. Don't worry about it. The Yam is not going to stand in front of you. Go into the Yam. Okay? So there's a tremendous act of faith here, of trusting in the Nevuas Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you're going to go into a sea with waves crashing down on you, and it's not a joke here. It's a real sea. And that you're going to go in, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do a miracle and save you. Okay? But the B'nai Yisrael, okay, showed tremendous emunah b'Hashem, and it was through that emunah, like you guys were saying earlier, it was through the emunah that they were zocha to the yam splitting. It was in that schus, they had the emunah, first of all, to leave Mitzrayim, follow God out, follow the cloud out into the desert without any food, without any provisions, and they had the emunah to go into the sea while the sea is still roaring. Okay, and that was their emunah. And Binyamin held, Binyamin was the first one there. Why? Because he was the closest. Why was he zocha to go there? Because it wasn't Binyamin. Binyamin was zocha because he said, I'm the closest. Okay? And immediately, as soon as they got the tzivua from Moshe Beinu, Binyamin goes first into the sea. Okay? And Yehuda, okay, Yehuda takes offense to this. Okay? Now, why is Yehuda upset? Okay? He's upset like this. Is that...
Was in his place?
Yeah, but Yehuda is the one leading. It's Yehuda's right to lead. But furthermore, okay, you're right. If it was that, though, it's slightly petty because, yeah. You know, I'm first. It's a little petty, okay?
Yeah,
I'm not saying that. I'm going to say that.
Yeah.
Say this. Is the Mitzrayim are coming down. They're bearing down at them. Ben Israel is terrified of the Egyptians, okay? The way Klal Yisrael travels, the way they've been traveling up until this point, the way they're going to continue traveling, is Yehuda is in the lead, okay? If B'nai Yisrael backs up into the sea, it looks like they're breaking formation. They're retreating. They're afraid of the Egyptians. They're panicking. And they're just going backwards. They're backing into the sea. If Binyamin is the one who goes first, if Binyamin leads them, Binyamin's not the leader. Binyamin is the tail end. He's the one in the back. Yehuda was upset is that it looks like you're retreating and you're panicking from the Egyptians and you're going backwards. As opposed to this being a conscious effort, a conscious directed effort that Moshe told us to go into the sea, and we are going to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to follow the Nevuas Moshe, we are going to the sea, it's a conscious effort, we're not panicking from the Egyptian army, we're not retreating, we're not breaking formation, we are going to turn around and go head first into the sea. The way you go head first into the sea, consciously, is by Yehuda going first. Now Binyamin says, yes, but the Kiddush Hashem is not to wait to turn around, but immediately, as soon as you get the tzivoy from Moshe Rabbeinu, is immediately the first person there goes in right away. You don't think. As soon as you have the tzivoy, you don't need any more time. You go follow the HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Nevuas Moshe. You go right into the sea. And that's the greater Kiddush Hashem. Okay? And Yehuda is saying, no, the greater Kiddush Hashem is not going first. The greater Kiddush Hashem will be demonstrating it was a conscious effort. And it wasn't just an immediate reaction, whoever's closest, but to show that we turned around and we traveled intentionally into the sea the way we normally travel, as if there's no sea there. Okay? And Yehuda started throwing stones at Binyamin in order to stop him, because Yehuda held that the greater Kiddush Hashem will be made, not if Binyamin goes first, but if Yehuda goes first.
Okay. So why is he praising
Arm
for going in?
Hold on a second. What?
So why is he praising Arm in order for going in?
Who? Binyamin?
Yehuda.
Why is Yehuda praised?
Yeah.
Because Yehuda's throwing rocks at Binyamin. Because Yehuda's trying to stop Binyamin. Because
no.
Yehuda's saying the greater Kiddush Hashem will be made if I lead in. Because I'm the one who's in the front. And if we turn around and go in head first, that's the greater Kiddush Hashem.
I understand that, but why is that? Why does the Torah or why does the Torah record the fact that Yehuda is praised because he goes in?
It's a Medrash, isn't it?
Or the Medrash.
Well, I understand what your question. He's being praised.
He shouldn't be.
Because he's throwing rocks at Binyamin, Okay, Binyamin's going, what, are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? You're throwing rocks at me? That those things really hurt. What are you doing? You're out of your mind, Yehuda. And Yehuda and Nachshon, they're throwing rocks. And Binyamin says, you're going to kill us. And Yehuda says, if you stop, you're not going to get hurt. And Binyamin says, I'm going first because I was here first. I was zochen to this. The first one who's closest should be the one who gets to go. You're out of your mind, Yehuda. And Nachshon says, I don't care. I'm throwing rocks. And if you don't go forward, you're not going to get hurt. But if you go forward, you're going to get your brain smashed in. And Yehuda's going forward. He's going into the sea. Everybody's half drowning over here. And they're throwing stones at each other. And they're arguing about who gets to be make the Kiddush Hashem. And each one wants to make it because each one has a taina. There's a taina for each side. Binyamin has a taina. He's the closest. He's the first. He's the one closest to the sea. The greater Kiddush Hashem is by immediately, as soon as you do it, going right away. And Yehuda has a taina that the greater Kiddush Hashem will be made by not just going into the sea backwards, but by turning around and going in forwards to show it was a conscious effort to follow Nevuas Moshe into the sea while it was still roaring, as opposed to just backing up and reversing. It looks like you're panicking. And each one has a svara. Okay, now each one, of course, is partial to their own svara, which is the Kiddush Hashem. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes when you have an emotion, you want to be the miskan, they're jealous. Each one wants to make the Kiddush Hashem. Their svara appears better to them. There's two svaras. Okay, and each one is arguing for their svara. And they're throwing rocks at each other, and they're making a machama, because who's gonna be mekayesh Hashem Shemayim? Who's gonna be the one to go in first to create in their minds a greater Kiddush Hashem? And that's the machama that they're making al yam. The machama is, and they're really fighting, and they're throwing rocks, and they're nearly drowning, because each one wants to be the first one to show that they have nevuah, they trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they're going to be the first ones into the sea to demonstrate that. Each one has a maila. Binyamin has the maila, he's the closest, and it should be immediate. And Yehuda has the maila, that he's the one who leads, and he's the first one. And it shows a conscious effort to believe in God, and not just a panic of retreat. And that's the machama, and that's what I'm basically saying is, it wouldn't make sense if it didn't make a difference whether it was Yehuda, Binyamin, Zvulun, Yisachar, who went first. And if Binyamin was Zocha, then Binyamin gets it. You don't throw rocks at somebody who's doing Kiddush Hashem because you want to do the Kiddush Hashem. That doesn't make any sense. The only svar to throw rocks is because you're saying the greater Kiddush Hashem is going to be made by me doing it, and by you doing it, it's less of a Kiddush Hashem. So he's trying to stop Binyamin. Binyamin's not listening to him because Binyamin says the greater Kiddush Hashem is if I go first.
So who wins?
Yehuda wins. And that's the big difference, okay? Because Binyamin isn't willing to stand up to Yehuda and Yehuda's rocks. But Yehuda's willing to stand up to Binyamin. And
but
that's,
if Binyamin did stand up to Yehuda, then what?
Then we'd have a whole different history, okay? And it wouldn't be Yehuda and Binyamin. I mean, that's the difference between Shaul and David.
I said, what if Yehuda killed Binyamin if he actually went there?
If he kept going... Yeah, look, listen.
I'm saying, like,
look, you'll be totally fine.
How far do you go with this?
You'll be totally fine if you don't go any forward. The rock's not going to hit you. The rock only hits you if you go forward. That's what Yehuda's saying. You're hurting yourself. You're walking into the rock. And all right, I'm throwing the rock a little bit in front of you. If you stop walking, you're not going to get hurt.
Binyamin said, you're
crazy. You've lost your mind.
Yehuda's being a bully right now.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Correct. That's called the king. Okay?
Okay. Well, I'm saying
I prefer to call it leadership. Okay? Leadership. Okay?
I don't think Yehuda was doing anything wrong.
No. No, he was... Okay, listen.
So are you saying that Yehuda would have killed Binyamin if he went... If he
I'm saying Yehuda... Binyamin would have committed suicide by walking into Yehuda's rocks.
You mean Yehuda killing him? There's
different perspectives. Okay? There's different perspectives. If he stopped walking, he's not going to get hurt. If he keeps walking...
Okay, was Binyamin doing a Chil Hashem?
In Yehuda's mind, he's lessening the Kiddush Hashem.
But what are
you want to call that a Chil Hashem? Call that a Chil Hashem.
No, I'm asking you.
It's a Chil Hashem because... they're going in just in a panic.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, the Binyamin wasn't going in a panic. It just looks like that.
It's a perceived.
That's how he's perceived, yes.
Who cares that it perceives like?
That's Kiddush Hashem.
We're leaving.
What do you mean, who cares? The whole thing is for the Egyptians here also, and the world, and the Torah. And for Klal Yisrael, it's recorded.
They're going to die in 2 minutes.
Well, it's recorded for us. We know this story.
Yeah, it would have been recorded that God commanded us to go in.
But now it's recorded this story, and that's even better.
This story is a medrash, okay?
Oh, it's open psukim, pretty much. Tehillim, it's open psukim, Mario. Okay.
Listen. David HaMelech is biased, okay, because he's from Yehuda.
Okay, you could say that. Okay. That's fairly, okay, whatever. Hey, you know what? Binyamin stopped, okay? Binyamin stopped.
That's his problem.
Binyamin did not commit.
That's his hate.
Binyamin
that's
did not commit.
Binyamin
chose not to commit suicide on those rocks, okay? Now, I say the difference between Binyamin and Yehuda and their malchus. Now, look, each one was zocha to be the king and the leader, because they were willing to sacrifice themselves, okay, for Kiddush Hashem. Binyamin was willing to risk his life, in a sense, because he's b'mikayashim shemayim, and he's going into the water. And that's what you need for a king. The king has to be putting Kiddush Hashem first over his own safety. Okay? What stopped Binyamin? What stopped Binyamin was not the water. What stopped Binyamin was Yehuda's rocks. Okay? Because Binyamin was this tzair. He was the smallest. That's the way the pasuk describes him. And that ultimately inhibited him from standing up to his older brothers. Okay? And the same thing, like Shaul was not able to stand up to the people. There was a certain inhibition of the younger Binyamin, and that traveled, that affected Shaul. Okay? And he was not able to stand up to the people. And that was his failing as a leader. The failing of a leader was his inability to be fully independent and to be able to act outside of the influence of his other brothers.
So he should have fought back.
He should have, and that's what Yehuda did. Okay, when Binyamin started throwing stones, Yehuda didn't care. Fine, bring it on, Binyamin, and he threw bigger stones. Okay, but see, Yehuda didn't care. That's what Yehuda did. Yehuda was willing to engage in a civil war, and he was willing to fight to the death, and he wasn't stopping. It was a game of chicken. Okay, and Binyamin realized that Yehuda isn't joking. Yehuda is not joking around. They're really having a war here, and if you're going to keep doing this, somebody's going to die. Okay, and Yehuda is not backing down. Yehuda wasn't backing down from his brother. Binyamin did. That's the difference between the leadership of Yehuda and the leadership of Binyamin. Okay, it's why Shaul's malchus was temporary and Yehuda's malchus was permanent. That's Yehuda Lekadsho. You saw Mamshalasov because of this, because of his refusal to let anybody stand in his way. He's going to be Mekayashim Shemayim. He's going to sacrifice himself. Bo'anav Mayim Ad Nafesh. The water's coming to his throat. He's willing to fight his brothers for Kiddush Hashem. There's no other influence that will take precedence. His own life or his brother's social influence, nothing will stop him from Mikashim Shemayim. That is the ultimate idea of the leadership of Malchus Yisrael. Binyamin has that to a degree. They're willing to want to be Mikashim Shemayim first. That is their main drive, but ultimately Binyamin is stopped by his brothers, and he doesn't stand up to them. Okay, Yehuda doesn't have that problem. Yehuda is above the influence of his brothers. Binyamin, Shimon and Levi, in terms of the and Reuven, in terms of Mechiras Yosef, that is where Yehuda rises above everybody else. He's able to rise above the pressure from all social pressure. He's able to act independently because he sees with his mind's eye the idea of Kiddushim Shemayim. Okay.
So let me get this straight. Yehuda would have killed Binyamin, there could have been.
That's what Binyamin's saying. Binyamin's saying, "You've lost your mind. You're going to kill us." That's what Binyamin's saying. Yehuda's saying, if you don't go forward and you let us go first, nobody's going to die.
Why not just go together? A kumbaya?
No, because that's not going to work. That's not going to work. Because Yehuda travels first and Binyamin travels last.
Okay, so make an exception for greater Kiddush Hashem.
No, the greater Kiddush Hashem. That's Yehuda's point. The greater Kiddush Hashem is by Klai Yisrael, don't just panic into the sea. Or don't make it look like you're panicking. Let us turn around. Let us turn around. Oh. So just the last point here, okay, is where is Zvulun and Naphtali come from, okay? So Yehuda is a leader, okay? Now he needs to stop. Really, it's Yehuda, but he needs to stop Binyamin. So he's a leader. He grabs two of his brothers. Now he travels with Yisachar and Zvulun, said Zvulun, and immediately to, I think, his left is Naphtali. So he grabs the two people to his right. The two people to his right, or two Shvatim to his right, are Naphtali and Zvulun. That's Zvulun because he travels with him, and Naphtali is right there also. Is the next. Why it's not Yisachar, I don't know. That would have been a little bit better, but whatever. It's Zvulun who's with him, and immediately to the next to Zvulun is Naphtali. So Yehuda knows he needs reinforcements. He's the leader. He grabs hold of the two other Shvatim, and under Nachshon's leadership, he throws stones at Binyamin. So Binyamin, not only is he the younger one, but he's also outnumbered by Yehuda because Yehuda has reinforcements. Okay, Binyamin isn't really able to get anybody to follow him. He's on his own against Yehuda, who's got Sari Zvulun and Sari Naphtali with him. Okay, further demonstrating the idea of the leadership of Yehuda. This is the pivotal moment in Klal Yisrael's history, going through the Yam, emerging as separate Shvatim, and where the melech and the leadership of Klal Yisrael is really established. Okay, and Yehuda really shows the superiority of his leadership over Binyamin, who is the other option for melech, is really through his gathering together the other brothers, having them follow him, right? That's like Yehuda and by Mechiras Yosef, the other brothers listen to Yehuda. and ultimately Yaakov, right? They listen to Yehuda. So he had to demonstrates that. He demonstrates the quality of leadership in terms of Kiddush Hashem. He demonstrates the quality of leadership in terms of self-sacrifice, Bona Mayim Ad Nafesh, right? That's the Imperik Samach Tas and Tehillim. And he demonstrates the probably the primary, the quality, what differentiates him from Binyamin the most, is his ability to stand up to the peer pressure, to the influence. He leads his brothers follow him, but he doesn't follow his brothers. Okay, if his brothers are throwing stones, he'll fight right back. He's not going to back down to what anybody else is saying. And that's Ha'isa Yehuda L'Kadsho. That's really the pivotal moment in Yehuda's history as a Shevet, where arguably the Birchas Yaakov was crystallized. And Yehuda demonstrated his superior qualities of why he deserved to be the Melech and he deserved to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. Good?